Happy Thursday, boys and girls. My name is Jerry Scott Mitchell, coming to you live on MRX. Default location, default route. Yesterday was a very good and yet interesting day. Wednesdays is my in-office day. That means a large portion of my team or my department has to go in the office. We have to go in once a week. The rest, we work from home. We're 100% phones. We don't interface with human beings ever. So, you know, working from home makes sense. And ever since COVID, God bless COVID, you know, things have changed. As you probably know, working from home. Anyhow, so I go in, you know, I have my normal breakfast in the morning, cottage cheese and broccoli. And I go in and I forget it's all hands day. So as soon as I get in there and I sit down, I start doing my stuff. I'm like, yeah, there's lunch in the one of the conference rooms. I was like, oh, okay. So instead of me getting my usual pub mix and sparkling lemonade, which I usually get as soon as I get to work anyway, like maybe less than an hour after I ate my broccoli and things, it's just a routine. It hits. So I just went in there and had lunch. Sat in there for like a half hour with the team, talking, having a good time, because, you know, we don't get together that much. And then after the holiday party, I had a good time at the holiday party with them people. And I say them people because I didn't know they was going to party like that. You know, I didn't know they was going to bring it. The energy and the dancing and participation. And we just had a good time. So I was, you know, I'm in a good spirits. So I'll go in there. And the lunch was, I got mashed potatoes. And I usually don't get mashed potatoes. But people have been talking about mashed potatoes so much, I had to go in on them. Plus, they had, like, big garlic cloves on them, and they were, like, yellow. Seemed like they might have butter or, you know, whatever on them. I got mashed potatoes, green beans, salad, a very, very good salad. Not just, like, you know, iceberg lettuce salad. No, it's one of these. I mean, again, I work for the second largest law firm on the planet. Ain't going to be no bullshit meals. Everything is going to be much better than what I would buy on my own. And I did not know, and I learned from the holiday party, where short ribs were. Because I got beef. It looked like beef chunks. I thought it was beef chunks. And no, they would say, you like the short ribs? I was like, was it ribs? I was like, no, it's like little beef chunks. It's called short ribs. You know, they were good. Nice little gravy to them. Very good. Turkey slices. You know, real turkey breast slice. Very well done. Gravy or saute or whatever you want to call that. Anjou, whatever. I mean, just very good quality food. And I ate. And I was telling the supervisor, I was like, you know better than feeding us than expecting us to work. But after eating that food, you know, I came down a little, but not, it didn't hit. You know, it just didn't smack me in the face. I came down a little, but I was still up from the adrenaline from just being in office and, you know, talking to people and doing this and doing that. So I got back, I worked a little bit. Granted, my focus may have been a little bit blurred. You know, I may have been a little bit sluggish, you know, a little bit not as on point as I could be. No doubt about that. After, you know, having a good big meal, even had cookies, couple cookies and like a cake ball, kind of chocolate cake ball with had icing in the middle of it and coated some kind of frosting. And they had my sparkling ice. So I ate. So I'm thinking, oh, well, you know, I got on my calories for the day already. Oh, boy. And so that was about 12 to 12:30. So from 12 to 12:30, so after 12:30, say 12:30 to 2, you know, I worked, I was at my desk, at my food, I just was doing whatever. And then at 2, we went to the Broad. We went to the Broad, the museum. So we had to walk up the hill. There was some walking, definitely walking involved. You know, participation, it was activity. So it may have been a little bit more walking than I'm used to. So I need to check that. I can check that later. So, and then get back on the road. I take my lunch break. I do 30 minutes walking on my lunch. And because I didn't, because, you know, we took our, went to the road in the meeting and stuff, I didn't take a second break. Well, I didn't walk on that first break. But I figured, you know, because walking into Broad or whatever, I just didn't take that second break. In fact, I think I used it in the bathroom as a bathroom break. Forget. But I walked at lunch, and I walked the second break. Then afterwards, I got off work. I went to Walmart, picked up some mouthwash, toothpaste. What else did I get? I went to get lotion, but they didn't have any. Got some quart-sized bags. Just, you know, I was just doing stuff, you know, kind of. And I felt pretty good. I wasn't hungry. I felt pretty good. And so, I sat down before I went to bed. I had my potato chips. I got my Kettle Brand unsalted potato chips that I put some vinegar over. Shake them up. Then throw in some lemon pepper on top of that. I'm thinking it's low salt. That's why I do that. Maybe high in calories, but low salt. And I have, you know, my little Kool-Aid drink, which this time my Kool-Aid drink, you're supposed to use a cup of sugar for every one packet in 2 quarts. A cup of sugar per one packet for 2 quarts. This Kool-Aid I made it. I usually make my Kool-Aid 1 cup of sugar, 1 packet in 4 quarts, gallon. I diluted the sugar or whatever content in half. You know, that's pretty good. And it was like so good, I was like, maybe I could dilute it some more. So I think this time I only used 1/4 cup. I used 1/4 cup of sugar, a packet, and 4 quarts of water in a gallon jug. And it's a little less. It's definitely a difference. It's a little less sugary. It doesn't have that, you know, hit that I used to get from that sugar that kind of concerned me, because it was just so good. That drinking that Kool-Aid was just so good. I'm like, I hope it ain't nothing wrong with me. With my A1C or my pre-diabetes, whatever. You know, because the sugar was just hitting. I said, let me reduce the sugar, because I drink a lot of Kool-Aid. I catch myself drinking a lot of Kool-Aid. Drinking like a gallon every 2 days or something. So I wanted to reduce the sugar. So I had that. You know, so I sit down and watch my podcast a little bit, blah, blah, blah. Steelers stuff. Breaking points. News stuff, blah, blah, blah. And then, so I go to get on the scale. Scale was 2 foot. No, when I first got in and took off my clothes before I ate. I take that back. Before I ate, I took off, you know, changed my clothes. And before I changed my clothes, I said, let me jump on the scale, see what it said. It said 214.6, which is very low. Which was very low, considering I had just ate. In fact, it was so significantly low from what I was expecting on a Wednesday, especially after the meal I had and where my weight was in the morning. It made me take notice. I was like, wow, 214.6. But then I hadn't eaten since like noon, and it was like 8:30, 9 o'clock. I was like, I got to put something in my stomach before I go to bed. I can't. And I got to put something in my stomach before I go to bed. So I just got my chips. That's when I got my chips and stuff. Then I got back on the scale, and it was up to 216.2. And obviously, that's mostly drinking water. I mean, drinking that Kool-Aid. And it's only like 8-ounce glass of Kool-Aid. I don't know what it was. But it jumped from like 214.6 to 216.2 or something like that. And I really don't think I drank that much. And then through the night, you know, I'm getting up, pissing here, pissing there. You know, as I wake up and go back to sleep and pee, and I saw my weight steadily go down, went down to 215.6. You know, I could see it going down very fast, considering, you know, that I really wasn't doing anything but peeing and let my food digest. Woke up this morning, it was 213.0. Very excited about that number. 213.0, I'm very excited about that number. For Thursday, It's not bad. I just got to keep it going. I got to keep my foot on the gas. I got to keep it going. But the reason I told this story in such detail is because basically that is just usually what I do. You know, I like to break down into details that I feel may be relevant while streaming consciousness without even real thought, forethought about it. Just let it come out saying what I feel like saying. Okay, so the whole thing behind that is that I'm thinking I got to stop eating after work. I got to stop eating after work, having my biggest meal of the day, pretty much right before I go to bed. I got to stop because I'll start myself. I'll eat my broccoli, cottage cheese at about noon or so, and then not have anything else. Start myself for 8 hours, then eat, fill up, then go to bed. That can't be good. You know, it kind of proved to me yesterday that, you know, something's going on. It's such a drastic difference in the amount I ate and the weight I thought I should have been in. I have to evaluate my eating habit. Now, I know for a fact, we all know for a fact, you ain't supposed to eat and go to bed. That's one of the first things you're taught, even as a kid. You know, you just don't eat and go to bed. And I kind of knew that, even if it's a salad or something, you know. So I got to look at that. I may even have to, here's what I'm considering. I may even have to, instead of walking at lunch, like I usually do, get my walk on at lunch. Maybe I need to take lunch, have my big meal, that 30 minutes, have my big meal. And then do a 30-minute walk after work. That would be somewhat of a drastic change, especially in the wintertime. It's not really so bad because I get out there, it's dark, but there's people out there. People walking their dogs and, you know, regular family people out there walking. So it's really not that late. And then after work, I walk my 30 minutes. I take a break. I take a break at about 3, do 15 minutes. 15-minute walk, take my lunch about 4:44, 5 o'clock, eat, you know, get down, get, you know, have my salad and my quote-unquote stuff, you know, my big meal, go back to work, and then get off at 8, and then walk a half hour and come home. I might try that today. I might try to see how that works today, because it's obvious I can't eat these meals and go to bed. That has got to be killing me. That has got to be killing my metabolism, not churning up, things not burning right, turning into fat. I don't know. There's probably some kind of algorithm or something to it. But, and I'm doing all this work and doing all this, and maybe the eating after work, the way my habit, you know, just looking forward to that, starving myself to that big meal at the end of the day, and just shutting down, stuffing myself and just shutting down. No, that can't be good. So I think I'm going to try that today. I think I really am going to try that today. I got my salad already made. I can just, you know, dip it up, portion it up, throw some salad dressing on it. Maybe even, I usually have chips with it. But I might have just Brussels sprouts. I got a little bit of Brussels sprout stuff with it. You know, I'll eat that, see how that makes me feel. And then go back to work, take my break, and then after work, do a 30-minute walk. See how that goes. And see, you know, how, and then get back after my 30-minute, I won't have my chips. I'll have my chips after I get back from my walk. You know, I gotta have something. I gotta have a meal or something, a ritual, a proceeding involving food to, you know, bring myself down or whatever I do. So I think that's what I'm gonna try to do today. Kind of excited about it, because this could be the thing. This could be the thing. And also, you know, to break it up, to actually stop in the middle of the day and take a breath. I mean, because from the time I get up, I'm going. From the time I get up, the day I got up at 8:50, get out of there about 9. I mean, I'm walking, then back in the shower, or eating, getting ready, setting up, then working for so many hours. And when I do get a break, I'm walking. So I'm constantly going. So take a break in the middle of the day, we'll see. You know, and eat, and put some calories in me, see how that feels, and then get used to going back to work. And then getting more steps in afterwards. So we'll see. We're gonna go with that and see. Uh-oh, look like something's going on here. Look like something's going on here. There's like a truck in the middle of the road. Yep, looks like there was an accident. Maybe even multi-car, huh? Woo! Woo! Airbags deployed. Woo! My God, yeah, this one looked like something happened here. I should have turned around. I'd have to come all the way up here. This is where I come. They in my area. I want to be involved. Yeah, something happened. Something serious went down. Not sure what it was. But something happened. Airbags were deployed. See, and then walking, you know, you interaction and stuff like that in life. I think it's important to have things like that, to be stimulated by unordinary circumstances, non-ordinary circumstances, just things, you know, just to get the brain cells going, get your thinking stimulated. And that's why I was talking about the other day that utopian heaven, you know, where everything is nice and everything is perfect and there's no stress and everybody is equal and all that, we're just not cut out to have, we're just not built for that yet. It serves no purpose. You can almost say it serves no purpose. Heaven serves no purpose. Heaven on earth serves no purpose. What's the point? Our only point is to survive. That's the number one goal that life gave us. Everything else, man created itself. Man, with conscious awareness, decided that these things are important to life. Here's the goals, I mean, in general, you know, general unspoken idea of where we should go, how we should go. What we should, not what we should be, but our point or purpose in a general, very general, unprovable, unwritten sense. Factoring in or factoring out God and religion and heaven and whatnot. The idea is just to get along, be happy. But the only thing really is to survive. Surviving means procreate. That means having kids. And I definitely think having kids and lineage and the success of your family is maybe the ultimate, one of the ultimate goals from my subjective viewpoint. Because we need, I don't want to say trauma, But we definitely need some drama. We may not need trauma, but we definitely need some drama. Just to keep life interesting, keep us involved. If there was no threats, there'd be like no reason to wake up in the morning. If every day was Christmas, it would get boring very fast. If every day was Christmas, there would be no Christmas. So that's what I'm saying, you know how walking here, see this accident and see a little bit of drama or trauma, people going through stuff emotionally, you know, empathetic or sensitive, sensitivity of awareness kind of allows you to experience that with them or imagine what that feels like, and that's stimulating. I think that's, you know, a big part of being stimulated, and we need that. In heaven, there wouldn't be none of that. You'd just be smoking blunts and champagne and dancing and having a good time. And everybody you ever knew was there. Every artist you ever wanted to listen to was there. I mean, it's just, the bliss is nauseating. The idea of heaven is nauseating, if you ask me. Got to be some kind of challenges. Got to be some kind of threat. Got to be something that you need to do. A function that needs to be carried out. Again, at least the way we have evolved. And I guess in my life, it's walking and it's weight. And subjectively, definitely, as long as, like I always say, we create these things. We determine these things. Nobody should be really determine you, what you ought to do or what you should be or what should be or what is or anything. Nobody should dictate that to you. The only person who can really dictate that is to you is you. And then, even then, if somebody was to try to dictate to you, tell you this is this, say this is this, God is real, God is this, you gotta be my God. If you decide to do that, that's your decision. At some point, you gotta take responsibility for everything you believe, no matter how you may have been indoctrinated in it or put in it or anything. You know, at some point you can say, oh, you know, this is the way I was taught. You know, this is how my parents raised me. But at some point, true, it could be instilled in you subconsciously that you really didn't have a conscious choice in the matter. I can't, you know, say that that's never the case. But at some point as an adult, and by as an adult, I mean a who has experienced life enough to become somewhat independent or somewhat responsible for their own existence. You know, it's up to you to make that call. Nobody can tell you what ought to be. There is no ought. Nothing ought to be anything. Nothing is supposed to be anything until the individual decides. There has to be criteria. This is supposed to be that so that we can achieve this. That's the best you can do. You're supposed to. And the next question is always, why? Or you got to. No, I don't got to do nothing. And I tell people, I'm not trying to be smart. But when you say I got to, you invalidate your argument. Anything you say after that is invalid. Because I don't got to do nothing. But then sometimes I get people, I understand what they're saying. You know, I understand the point they're trying to make, and I let it go, but I do point it out at least once. I said, no, I ain't got to do nothing. I understand you're trying to make a point, but no, you can't base your premise on what I got to do without thoroughly explaining it. And when you thoroughly explain it, you're going to say, you got to do this to achieve this. You're supposed to do this to achieve that. This ought to be to achieve. There has to be a second criteria on it, and that's very important, because the part of life that I probably love the most right now is that nobody can impose any rules or guidelines, well, maybe laws and jurisdiction, But nobody, but what life is, what I need to do, where I should be, this or that, nobody can tell me that. It's up to me completely. You know, believe in God, do this, be a good person, you know, act this way, eat this food, do this, do that. You know, they people do it out of the goodness of their heart. Don't get me wrong. People do it out of the goodness of their heart because they believe that that's what's best for you. And in their thinking and in their theory, they believe that that's what's best for you. And they, and you know, it comes out crudely, you know, because they ain't got time to explain to you in philosophical terms, you know, with footnotes and laying out a logical argument. You know, so you, a lot of times you're too young to understand it, number one. So you kind of break it down. No, you can't eat this off the floor because you'll get sick. You know, oh, okay. You know, how you get sick from eating stuff off the floor, why you get sick eating stuff off the floor. If you're three or four, you kind of don't matter. You just know that, you know, you just told, ooh, that's dirty. And they say, you're not supposed, you're supposed to wash your food. And you got to say, why? You're supposed to wash your food if you want it to be clean and free of chemicals that may make you sick. There has to be a criteria. There's no ought supposed to be. Now, should. You should, based on what? Okay, I'm going through that. Enough of that already, all right? I think I beat that horse enough. What do you think? Am I gonna be able to make this light? Am I gonna be able to make this light? I think I am. People riding those bikes, yeah, she riding that bike. People riding those cruiser bikes that wear, the knees come up so high, I don't see how they get torque on the legs. It's like you're sitting flat, you're sitting in a cruiser style, and you, I like the 10-speed style where I'm almost standing up. You know, I'm bent over, but my legs are straight up and down where I can get good torque on the pedals. With my legs, and I can actually stand up on the pedal. Those cruisers, I don't understand. Well, I do understand. People just cruise. I guess that's why they call them cruisers. You know? I guess that's why they call them cruisers, because you just kind of cruise. They're not for speed. They're only really not for speed. It seems like they're not even for practical or realistic power transfer of leg to pedal. That's all I'm saying. That's why I... Sorry, Chris. People, you see me walking. People need to figure out how to ride bikes. Pedestrians have the right of way. Save all that sorry shit. Learn how to ride your damn bike and get pedestrians the right of way. Even if you gotta stop. Anyway, I think that's my talk for today. So today we're gonna see, we're gonna try it. We're actually going, for my lunch, I'm actually going to have lunch ready, sit down for a half hour, eat, see how much time that takes, maybe even I'll eat and have time to do some walking. Who knows? Or just stop for a half hour, relax in the middle of the day, have that meal, go back to work, see how I feel. Then after work, hopefully I'm not hungry. Hopefully I, you know, have something. I didn't starve myself. So I'm excited about it. I'm going to do it today. I'm going to do it. And then after work, get out there and do that 30-minute, do my normal or my usual lunchtime walk. 30 minutes and be out there on the street. Yeah. And today, if I came in at 213.0 this morning, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. If I lose my 1.8 that I usually lose on this walk, I should be 211 something. I think I'd be like 211. I'll probably be 211.6 or something like that. And I'll take that for Thursday. I'll take that. And then what I'm going to do today, and tomorrow we'll see what I wake up to be. Or maybe even do 35, 40 minutes on the glider, watching TV or something after work. But the glider, I like walking. Walking is easier to me because maybe if I'm watching a podcast or something. If I put the remote in my pocket, and then sometimes I'll take a break and I'll walk around the apartment just to loosen it up, break it up, to get back on the glider. And I got bricks on the glider to give a little bit resistance. Probably need more resistance, but we're gonna try that. We're gonna see. Maybe I'll do if I get on the glider after work, I could probably do an hour since I'm just there with the, watch the TV and stuff. So we'll see. That's what we're gonna do. All right, I'm excited. I don't know about you, but I'm excited. I think the whole idea is like all humans to find that magic pill. To find that magic pill, that secret thing that makes all this so much easier. Because who knows? Maybe I found it. Maybe this is. Maybe I'll feel better during the day, feel better after work. And that maybe I can even get more stuff done after work. Yeah, we'll see. So I'm looking forward to it. Hope I remember. Also, my night guard. I love my night guard. I've been brushing my teeth at night too. At least a little bit more than I have been. I love my night guard. It gives me, it definitely makes it feel like a swaddling or a pacification. It's a head out of my mouth and it's into my podcast as I go to sleep. Because it fits so snug. And it's a thing, definitely a thing to it. Definitely. Other than that, supposed to get our bonus checks tomorrow. Got some bills to pay, things to caught up. Oh, one more thing. I bought a ticket to see Pete Funk in Cleveland, basically, February 8th. The Super Bowl is in New Orleans on February 9th. I already checked out flights. Super Bowl is at 6:30. Sunday, the 9th. And there's flights that would get me into New Orleans from Pittsburgh like before noon. So I would see Pete Funk. But to see the Super Bowl, you spend that money on that ticket, you kind of want to be down there for a few days to take it all in instead of just flying in, already in a ticket. A ticket for P-Funk, $230 plus a $23 insurance fee just in case I can't make it. How about the insurance for that ticket? Front row, seat 19, front row, stage left. I guess. It depends on how you, you know, facing the stage, I'm on the right, almost like the next to the last seat, center section on the right. But as you know, once you're in the front row, you in the front row. You know, once you're in the front row, you in the front row. And of course, I know better. I bought it, but I gotta have a ticket. I gotta have a ticket in the pocket. And come, might come day of the show, might have same tickets or better, resale cheaper. But I can't risk it. I can't risk it. I can't risk it. I gotta, you know, have my seat solid. Set my alarm to wake up. 6:55, tickets went on sale at 7. Jump right on it. So I'll be, I got to sit in the first row, y'all. I got to, and I'll pay for it. I got to sit in the front row. I mean, it's just, you know, I would feel bad if I didn't. And a show in Chicago came up, I think the day before, something like that. And a show in, there's a show in Detroit. All those good seats are sold out. Well, good is relative. Front row seats are pretty much gone, but I might, you know, I gotta see how it's gonna work. I gotta see where I'm gonna be at and how it's gonna work. So we'll go from there. I gotta see where I'm gonna be, how I'm gonna do it. Fly back to Ohio, stay there a couple weeks. You know, do I stay there whenever I go there? Super Bowl, blah, 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 blah. So we'll see. I'm gonna tell my daughter too. So, all right, I got a ticket for P-Funk February 8th in Cleveland, just to let you know. In the Super Bowl, it's Sunday. If Pittsburgh goes to the Super Bowl, I'm gonna have to go. And maybe I can, I don't know. Would I wanna be down there for that whole weekend? Do I really need to be down there for that whole weekend? I mean, there's a lot of Super Bowl stuff going on, no doubt. Don't get me wrong, there's a lot of good Super Bowl stuff going on. But is it, you know, is it worth it? I don't know. I don't know. That's what I need to do, too. That's exactly what I need to do, too. I need to actually do that kind of calisthenic and work out and talk and say stuff and be vocal and all that. Yeah, I definitely. Like a calisthenic instead of just walking all the time. Definitely. No doubt. All right. Looks like I done did 35 minutes on this thing. Looks like I done did 35 minutes on this thing. That should be enough for today, whatever enough means. However it means. Whenever, whoever, whyever, enough means. That was me talking. Went in autopilot talk because people were walking by. Kind of like, not focusing on them, but got distracted and still kept talking. And whatever came to my head just came out my mouth. But that's what usually happens. But when I get double distracted, though, I guess. When I get distracted from the consciousness stream, that's kind of what happens. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. How we gonna start the year off. How we gonna be, what we gonna be. How we gonna do what we gonna do. My Pittsburgh Steelers. There. In fact, I gotta check DraftKings. Put maybe 50 on them to win the Super Bowl. See what happens. In fact, I'm gonna do that as soon as I get off of here. Let my daughter know, check the odds. Put 50 on Pittsburgh to win the Super Bowl. Or should I say go to the Super Bowl? I don't know, 50 to go. 50 to go to the Super Bowl, 50 to win it, something like that. 50 to go, 50 to win it, something like that. Anyhow, swinging on y'all two times. For me, for the funk. For every elementary particle that has ever existed in any atom, in this or in any universe that ever was, is, or will be, including said universes that are not made up of atoms and particles as we know them. What did I say yesterday? The totality of it all. That's what I said. The totality of it all. Theory of universe. Hypothesis of all as one. My name is Jeffrey.